the 58104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend.
But you feel like a real little kid again listening to us.
Oh, hell yeah, of course I do.
It's time. Anywhere you are, by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast. This, of course, is the main menu theme to NCAA Football 14 from EA Sports.
Love it.
And forget the Super Bowl. This is the most important thing that happened this week.
Amen.
Is that NCAA Football is coming back.
It's back.
And obviously, I am going to spend so much money on this game. It is
funny. Absolutely. Well, it took 7 years to get it back.
Well, and it's going to take another couple to get it into development.
Wow. But next year.
Soon enough, we'll be able to play FCS Midwest against Texas again, just like we used to be able to.
Look, there has to be FCS teams in this game.
I hope so.
It has to be.
I hope so.
Or do a game, or do like a team builder thing again.
Oh, I'm sure you'll spend an inordinate amount of time.
Oh, absolutely.
See, the best part about this is it'll probably be released by the time you're pretty close to being in college. So you won't get any studying done, which I'm probably going to pay for at some point. But, yeah, for those of you who are old enough to have played NCAA Football 14, phenomenal. I mean, hours and hours of wasted time on this. And it's going to be great. I'll be able to run my beloved triple option again. I love it.
You ran triple option for all pro teams?
Oh, absolutely.
You did?
Hey, you run like Doug Flutie, and then he was pitching it back to Bo and Marcus Allen. Oh, it's great. It's fantastic. It's great. It's good stuff. So anyway, pretty excited to see NCAA Football 14 coming back on the docket for. And they say 22, 23, something like that, I think is when it'll be developed. And that's the whole name, image, and likeness thing that they've been talking about for several months at the NCAA level. So it's exciting to have that coming back.
Absolutely.
Obviously, that will take a back seat, however, to the upcoming game. We will break it down tonight. We'll talk about the Super Bowl, the LV, the magic matchup, the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. We'll go through all that tonight. We'll also take a look at the prop bets, the popular ones. We'll go through those, make our own picks on those particular things to keep it interesting. I haven't gotten in the square pool yet at work, but I have to get that done.
All right.
Send that in. And everybody usually bets something on these games, so we'll do that. And then just briefly at the end of the show, Bison basketball, big weekend coming up as they have Oral Roberts coming into town. So busy weekend coming up. But we start with tonight, our preview, Super Bowl LV in the National Football League. And since we'll be hearing this song like 800 times, we deviate a little bit from our normal music, as this, of course, we don't know, is The Weeknd. He's kind of a different dude.
Yeah, he is.
Is he Canadian, right?
No idea.
I forget.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think he's Canadian. He does wear some fine suits, though, I must say.
Yeah, he's Canadian.
But I swear to God, it was like during conference championship or playoff weekend. This song was on like every 30 seconds.
Because it's the whole halftime show.
Right.
You gotta hype it up.
Brought to you by Pepsi. So. Okay. Not the dirty part of the song. All right. No.
His real name is Abel, by the way.
Abel? Like
A-B-E-L.
Is he able to sing pretty well? Seems like it.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. This is good. Anyway. Great song. I like it. But we know we can't do this segment normally with that. So we'll switch back to the National Football League. There we go. All right. Here's what you need to know. On the board tonight, as we record this Thursday evening, Kansas City at 16-2, the AFC champions, are -3.5. That line has gone up. It was 3. Mm-hmm. The number has moved to 3.5. Not surprised that it moved to 3.5. Over under a 56.5. That has actually come down a little bit. Now,
Over.
Well, the reason that line has come down a little bit, the over-under has come down a little bit, is the weather might be a factor.
Oh, for God's sakes.
And that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
So it's supposed to rain, or what's
going on? It is supposed to rain in Tampa Bay on Sunday night. Now, I don't know if that's going to be a huge difference maker.
It shouldn't be.
But you know that a bad weather game would certainly favor Tampa Bay.
Well, let me spin it to you this way. 2006 Super Bowl, the only time it rained in a Super Bowl was the
That's Colts. Really the biggest what, Super Bowl
was, in... was the Colts-Bears Super Bowl, right? It's like, oh, weather favors the Bears, right? Well, the Colts still won the game. So
There's not a huge chance of rain. It's a 30% chance of rain, and then it's not supposed to rain at all on Sunday night. But the start of the game may be impacted by a little bit of weather. I think that matters? No. Do I think that may have had some influence, possibly, earlier in the week it did? I think as odds and money comes in on this game, I think that a straight up three point pick, probably there was a lot of money coming in on one side to move it to 3.5. And I'm not surprised to see that now you can't take Tampa or you can't take Kansas City in the cheap 3 points. I think more people are gonna bet the Bucks with 3.5, because I think a lot of people feel like it's going to be a field goal game, Grant.
Right.
And that's what it was the first time.
Right, it was. But the more I think of this game, the more I'm thinking, this is still Mahomes and the Chiefs. The only quarterback that's beaten him in the playoffs is Brady. He's the only one to beat him in the playoffs. I'm just thinking, well, this is still the Chiefs' offense. You have to hold them 3 points. You're not going to consistently stop them. You're going to have to make them kick field goals all day. In the Browns, the second half, they only forced field goals. They almost had a chance to win that divisional game. It's going to come down to who is the better field goal kicker towards the end of this game.
Let's take a look at both of the teams on offense. We obviously know the Chiefs' offense is
loaded.
Prolific was the word I was going to use. Number one in the league in yards on offense. Number one in the league in passing yardage. Middle of the pack running the ball, 16th. Okay. Tampa comes in with a 7th-ranked offense, 2nd-ranked passing offense.
Yeah.
So they have number one and number two passing offenses in the league, but they're 28th running the football.
They should be a lot better than 28th.
And you would think, by the way, their offense has played the last few weeks, that they would be ranked higher than that. But when you have Tom Brady, you're probably not as much inclined to run the ball.
You're going to throw it.
Yeah. So I kind of look at this in that respect and say, do you think that with Kansas City's defense only being middle of the pack, they're 21st against the run. That's their weak spot.
Mm-hmm.
They're 14th against the pass. But a lot of times with the Chiefs, to quote The Rock, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And Tampa's defense, while 6th against overall yardage, they're number one against the run. I don't think the Chiefs care.
No.
The thing that bothers me the most about this game when I started to break it down is the Bucs are 21st against the pass. And they do not have the corners.
No.
I think to hang. Obviously, they don't with Tyreek Hill. But
who's got Kelce over the middle? Who's got Hardman?
Yeah, and they might get Sammy Watkins back.
Right.
There's a lot of things they can go deep with. But interestingly enough, though, let's go back to that first game that they played this year. This was in November, right at the end of November, at Raymond James.
Right.
And if you didn't see the game, Tyreek Hill had himself a season in the first quarter. Right. 2 touchdowns from Mahomes, 75 yards and 44 yards. Later, he scored on a 20-yarder. And this was Route City. This was 27-10 midway through the third quarter. All right? Mm-hmm. Hill, for the day, had a day. But the quarter he had, I believe, was an NFL record, if I'm not mistaken. But he wound up with 13 catches for 269 yards and 3 touchdowns. I can almost guarantee you that the Bucs will not let him do that again.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, they're going to make somebody else beat them. But that's the problem with Kansas City. Anybody can beat you on that offense.
Well, and they had Kelce was 8 for 82, DeMarcus Robinson 5 for 36, Watkins 4 for 38, Hardman 3 for 23, Le'Veon Bell had a couple catches, Alaire had a catch. They really did spread the ball around. But again, Mahomes in the game threw for 462 yards, and 270 of that was Hill.
Right.
So I think if you're playing defensive coordinator, and if I'm Todd Bowles, there's no way Hill's beating me. I'm giving them safety help over the top. I've got linebackers that are good enough to stay with Kelce, and I'll get to that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to make you beat me with Edwards-Alaire. I'm going to make you beat me with Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman.
Le'Veon Bell.
I'm not letting Tyreek Hill beat me.
And that's still, you're picking your poison with that team. If you take away the main two options, then their supporting cast is better about half the league's receiving corps. I mean, just their supporting cast alone. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman, those guys could start on most teams. And yet they're just your third, fourth string wide receiver that you have on every third down, maybe. But just, you cannot just play against those two guys and say, okay, we're just going to let them beat us. You have to be able to contain the run and then be able to stop their passing.
When we take a look at the last game again, just again, it's been over, you know, it's been 2 months. The teams are pretty similar. We'll get to some of the differences here in a minute. But when the Bucs came back, you know, they had a chance to, you know, they got it to within a score.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Evans got a couple of touchdowns. There wasn't a lot of, you know, risk-taking by the Chiefs once they got ahead.
No.
And, in fact, after that touchdown they scored at the end to make it 27-10, they went punt, punt, punt their next few drives.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went in and then they ran out the clock on the last drive. The Bucs in the first half came out and struggled. They went five plays and punt, three and out, three and out, three and out. On their first four drives, they had no first down, or one first down, and three punts. Meanwhile, the first four drives for the Chiefs went field goal, punt, touchdown, touchdown. By the time the game, for all practical purposes, the game is over.
Yeah.
And I can't see the Chiefs starting that quickly again, and I can't see the Bucs being that poor at the beginning again. Mm-hmm. So, to me, the start of this game, every start is critical in the Super Bowl. We all know this in every game. I think it's more critical in this game. I almost think that if the Bucs wouldn't get the toss, they want to take the ball.
Oh, I think they should. You need to assert that we are here to win this game.
Assert is a good word. Yeah. That's a good word for it.
We're not going to let you dictate how this game is going to go.
And they won the toss in the first game and deferred.
Deferred, yeah.
And
Take the Sam Ezeler approach. Take the ball. See
right.
If you can do anything.
I think you take the Nick Saban approach and elect to kick ass right away. And I honestly would do that. Interestingly enough, the line in this game was 3.5, just like it is here in the Super Bowl, with a 56 over-under. Now we're at 56, and they've only moved up half a point from the previous game,
right?
Which is interesting. Just a couple other interesting facts about that game. The Chiefs did not run the ball at all for obvious reasons. Clyde Edwards-Helaire only had 37 yards. The Bucs only ran the ball in the whole game 13 times. One of them was a Brady, you know, I don't know if it was a sack or if he had to run. Ronald Jones ran for 66 yards, and Fournette had 3 carries. I guarantee you that game plan isn't going to be the same.
That game sounds like a Bruce Arians game plan to the absolute T. He is not a guy who likes to run the football a whole lot. We saw it in Arizona. We saw it. He was in Indy as an interim coach. They like to throw the football. Even when he's in Pittsburgh, if it's third and long, we're going to air it out. If you had the ball for 36 minutes, you have 36 points. He's going to air it out, and he's not afraid to do it. No risk it, no biscuits, likes to say with him. He's going to play an aggressive game. He's going to throw the ball, and that's where it caught up with him against the Saints. They ran the ball, what, six times? Was it six times?
Wasn't many.
Against New Orleans? They got beat 38-3. Finally, that pass game doesn't work. They want to keep throwing. Maybe sometimes they have to establish the run and say maybe they have to run the ball in this game.
Interestingly, Kansas City ran the ball that few times and dominated time of possession. It was 37-23.
Right.
That's a huge... Anytime you get over 35 minutes, you really control the clock like that.
Right.
Especially for a team that doesn't run. Now, a couple other just important things to note about overall what these two teams are like. And it showed up in this game, too, what I wanted to talk about. The Chiefs are the fourth most penalized team in the league.
Really?
Yeah, they committed 105 penalties for 919 yards. All right. The Bucs are 22nd, 20 fewer penalties and 200 fewer yards. In a one-game scenario, that might mean something. Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about teams that have played 18 or 19 games here, of course.
Right.
But the what stats I just gave you are regular season only. In this first game, the Chiefs committed 10 penalties. All right. Now, is that going to be a huge issue in the game? I don't know, but in automatic first down scenarios and chain moving...
Do you think the refs are going to let them play, or are they going to call everything?
These are the best officials in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Super Bowls tend to get called somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't think you have overly tight Super Bowls, because I think there's a mentality, and you tell me if you disagree, that...
Okay.
Referees in the Super Bowl don't want calls to decide games. Right. They want players to decide games.
Yeah, right.
So I think they'll swallow the whistle a little bit, keep the flag in the pocket, and I don't think you're going to see, which benefits Kansas City, I think.
Yeah.
Because they won't call as much. Now, the problem, though, is I think you will get, that works to the other side of it, though, is that I think the flagrancy, if that's a word, of the Buccaneer defenders will be rewarded because they won't call it. And that'll enable them to get a little more physical with a Tyreek Hill, a DeMarcus Robinson, a Sammy Watkins, who are not, I don't think we mistake them for being physical wide receivers.
No,
they are finesse receivers.
They're finesse and fast.
And, you know, guys like Hardman, the hands are a little bit questionable sometimes on the deep balls and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that being an issue. The other issue is Mahomes' turf toe. And it didn't seem to bother him.
No, it doesn't bother
him. But just maybe take a little bit of it off.
He didn't bother him against Buffalo. I wouldn't be worried.
No, I agree.
My worry is that the Tampa Bay pass rush is going to get after, because they're both through their tag. They're both their tackles are out. Right.
Right. Because we know Eric Fisher is probably not going to play, and Mike Remmers is going to have to start at right tackle.
And he played right guard.
And he's a friggin' turnstile. He used to be a Viking.
He played guard for the Vikes. He's pretty good. So it's not... Yes, he was. Don't give me that
Don't make me go to the Pro Football Focus numbers on Remmers. It's not going to be pretty.
He's not Drew Samia, so there's that.
But, he's not Dakota Dozier either, which is also good. But let me give you a tackle that I am going to watch for... But it's for Tampa Bay. And that is a tackle, Donovan Smith.
Hmm.
Why do I need to worry about Donovan Smith?
Why
talking about penalties? Because Donovan Smith had the second most penalties of any offensive lineman this year in the NFL.
The holding penalty?
He had 5 holding penalties and 3 false starts to go along with a couple of personal fouls.
Ooh.
They can't afford to have Frank Clark get him on the left side or Chris Jones. That's the weakness in Tampa Bay's pass protection. And we all know that if Tampa Bay can't protect Brady, they are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I think that that's going to be a major issue for Kansas City and Tampa Bay in this game? I don't know. They only got to Brady once.
Yeah.
So, I don't think the game plan is for Brady to hold the ball.
No.
I don't think either of these two teams have cornerbacks that are going to scare the other.
They're going to play their style of football. It's going to be a fun game to watch.
But watch how many times Donovan Smith's name gets mentioned. That's my kind of, you know, deep nerd tip. Watch how many times he gets mentioned in the game. Now, Joe Haig from NDSU is probably going to be rotating in somewhere in there. But that offensive line, you would think for the names that are on there, you'd think they'd be better than 28th running the ball. But they're pass blockers. Allie Marpet, Ryan Jensen, I believe Stinney, the JMU reject. and Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah,
they, you know, who they drafted.
It's a pass blocking.
It's line. Definitely a setup to protect the pass pro.
Yeah.
Your boy Cameron Brait, when he's in there, obviously a good receiver along with Gronk.
Imagine that if they had OJ Howard and he was healthy this year. I mean, that's just another weapon to this unbelievable offense.
Unbelievable.
I mean, these are the two best offenses in this league, and it's not even close. It doesn't matter what the total offense numbers are or what they're ranked. These are the two best offenses in the NFL.
So, let's talk about the Chiefs' offense.
Do you really have to? I mean, you know.
Well, no, but I think it's the names that you don't know as well that are going to be the key. Again, Mahomes is fantastic. You can say he's the best quarterback in the league, and I don't think you get a lot of debate.
Yeah.
Unless
it's the dumb Packers fans.
Edwards-Helaire has been banged up a little bit.
That's
but they are so deep at running back. They can go to Edwards-Helaire. Their Williams has played well.
That Le'Veon Bell guy is pretty good.
Yeah, certainly on the getting close to retirement. Let's not forget Anthony Sherman, too, is one of the best fullbacks in the league, and they've run him down at the goal line and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Hill, like I said, we've talked about it. Robinson, Watkins, Hardman. They're all good receivers, but I would argue Tampa's are better, top to bottom. Now, we'll get to that. Kelsey, of course, is a dude. We all know this.
Mm-hmm.
Martinez Rankin is the guy that's going to start for Eric Fisher. You know, the rest of that line for it, Allegretti, Ryder, Wiley, those guys are all really good. Tampa's defense, though. Tampa's got probably the best set of linebackers in the league when you look at, depending on how they line up, Shaq Barrett, Levante David, Devin White, they can play JPP at end or drop him into zone coverage.
That's scary.
Golston at end. People forget how good Ndamukong Suh is still. He's still got it left. Here's the other key. The other guy is Vita Vea. And, again, I know the Chiefs aren't going to run the ball, like probably a ton, but Vea is that disruptor guy you need.
Right.
And he could really mess things up for them on defense.
Right.
I just worry that that secondary with Davis and Dean is not going to be able to handle that. And Antoine Winfield is going to have to be, I think,
is he gonna play?
At his best.
Is he going to play?
Well, as far as I know, he's going to play.
Okay.
And, you know, Whitehead had a nice game against the Packers as well. I think they can handle Kelsey, you know, reasonably well. I mean, he's going to get his, you know, catches.
Yeah.
But I suspect that they will have a little easier time dealing with them than most linebackers because of their athleticism. I'm just not sure. I think it'll slow them down enough.
Yeah.
So I think the Chiefs are going to still get their 38 or 31 points, I should say. So 20.
The Bucs are going to have to score 38. Then. They're going to have to score 34 or 38 points to win this game.
Do you think the Bucs defense can at least slow down? And
slow them
down. Can they keep them? And that's, I guess, our first over-under. 27 was the number the Chiefs got in the first game. Do you think they get over or under 27?
That's tough. If it's an under, it's 24. If it's over, it's like 30. I mean, they're going to be in between that 24 to 30 range. And if they hit right on 27, that wouldn't shock me. But if they hold them to 24 or less, Tampa wins this game.
Would I be simplifying it to say that first to 30 wins?
Yes, you're simplifying it too much.
Too much?
Too much.
Okay.
If it's a 30 to 27 game in the fourth quarter, you're definitely, both teams are going over. Both teams are for sure going over 30 points.
Okay. What do you need to score to win? If you say, hey, I get that many, I win. What's your number? You know? I don't know. I'm asking. I don't know.
I'd say if you get to 40 first, you're going to win.
Okay.
I'd say 40 because they're going to match each other for a while.
I think 38 wins it. I think 38 wins it. I kind of think 31 wins it, but 38's definitely going to win. I don't think you're going to have a 41-38 game.
If you do, that's one hell of a Super Bowl.
If you do, it's going to be the higher the winning team score, the more likely Kansas City's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
The flip side of that is looking at the Bucs offense. And it took me just kind of sitting down and looking at it to realize, wow, Evans, Godwin, Miller, Tyler Johnson, Gronk, Brait. Even if they don't have Antonio Brown, which it looks like they won't.
O.J. Howard on IR. It's just like
you're obsessed with OJ Howard.
I like their tight ends. What? I can't name all their weapons.
I can't think that the secondary for Kansas City.
It's very underrated.
Well, they got, you know, Ward and Breland and those guys.
Yeah,
Sorensen, who I can't stand, but obviously, and the Honey Badger. I get a tough time getting fired up about them because I don't think they're that good. But I think what really made the difference last year in the Super Bowl was their defensive line and, you know, Frank mm-hmm. Clark and Chris Jones, who had a monster
but
game.
But the Niners were a rushing team. They passed it out of necessity. It's like the old option teams of the 70s in college football.
I don't think the linebackers for Kansas City are particularly good at Hitchens or Wilson. I don't particularly think that the back end is great. That's why I think the Buccaneers, it was so surprising that they struggled to score as much as they did in the first meeting. Because, again, going into the fourth quarter, they had 10 points on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder if they have a game like that, I don't think they're going to be able to recover and come back. Mm-hmm. Not like last time.
But like I said, with Kansas City, they can win any kind of game you want to play. Slow it down, speed it up, want to run it, you want to run it more, throw it more. The higher the score grows, even if it stays steady, I just like Kansas is going to win this game.
Do you think Tampa can score 30 against this defense? I think they can.
They can. It's just the Chiefs will score 34. They'll score 38. It's just I think Tampa's defense is great, but I just like Kansas City's offense so much more than their defense.
The only thing that bothers me about the Chiefs' defense on the pass rush side. Brady was 27 of 41 for 345 yards in that other game. He was sacked one time. They blitzed 18 times, the Chiefs did. And that concerns me a little bit because they blitzed 18 times and got one sack.
Mm-hmm.
And only two hurries.
Maybe he got it off quick.
Well, he did, according to the numbers.
Well, yeah, if he got it off quick, then what does that mean?
The Chiefs, Mahomes got sacked twice and got blitzed nine times with six hurries. He also, in the game, had a couple of what... There's a metric for bad throws. Okay. Now, a bad throw, I don't know what the technical definition that they're using in the glossary here is, and I'm going to look that up, but... On the passes, Brady was 27 of 41,
mm-hmm.
and he had 12 bad throws and one drop. That's it?
Mm-hmm.
One drop. But 12 bad throws. So there might have been more, and Brady has always been one also that tends to dump the ball when he will dump the ball a lot quicker than most guys. He will not take hits. He will dump the ball and get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Mahomes... He will hang on and extend plays.
Yeah,
right?
Of course he does. It's just what Mahomes does. I guess Mahomes, he's that magician, right? He's just the guy who runs around the pocket and makes the no-look throw and it's caught. Like, oh my God. But that's just kind of what Mahomes is. So he's been his entire career. I mean, the Chiefs' offense is just so built to what Mahomes likes to do. Run around with receivers that can make plays for you anytime you need it. It's ridiculous.
So if you figure it, that the Chiefs blitzed a lot, didn't get a lot of sacks, but got some throwaways. And you figure the Bucs didn't blitz a lot.
Right.
And still got to him a couple times. Mahomes with a little bit less mobility, although probably won't be a big factor. Brady with no mobility.
Zero.
I think you got the potential for two teams to get to the 30s here.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I'm going to bet the over.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to bet the over on the 56.5. Okay. I don't think that even on, because what you're asking me right there is a 31-28 game gets you the over. Well, I think we can all pretty well assume that's probably going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, is it going to be now, the money is going to move to Tampa Bay because now you got a field goal plus the hook,
mm-hmm.
plus the half point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I look at this, logically, it doesn't make sense for Tampa to be that close.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have a tough time in the scope of all of this thinking that Tampa should win this game or even cover. It feels like a 10-point win for me to Kansas City.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's something like 38-28 to me. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the... If you're going to ask me to name a score, I'm probably going to be there. I'm going to be somewhere in that 38-28, 38-31.
Yeah.
Either way, that's the over, and that's Kansas City minus 3.5. And that's my official pick, is Kansas City minus 3.5 and picking the 56.5 over. Would I be shocked if the Bucks won?
No.
Would I be shocked if they covered? Not at all. But this is always the game every year, too, that the odds makers spend the most time on with the line. Other times you might get a point or two of variance. I don't think you're going to get it in this. No. You got both teams that average close to 30 a game. If they just do their average, and we're very much thinking the Chiefs will overperform their numbers. Even if Tampa Bay underperforms a little bit, that'll mean the Chiefs will overperform. So that's my official pick, Grant. Chiefs minus 3.5 and the over at 56.5.
I thought Tampa Bay was your Super Bowl pick.
They are, but I don't have to pick them in the game. Oh, okay. But I know I picked them at the beginning of the year.
Same things you said, but Kansas City wins at 38-31. That's my pick. That's what I got for this game. I just feel Kansas City. Tampa Bay's defense is great. They have a great back. They have a great back. But both these team secondaries are just so...
Mediocre?
Mediocre, that's the right word. Yeah. They're just... some middle of the pack, but it's just there's going to be a lot of points scored, but who's a better offense? Kansas City. So Kansas City 38-31.
Right off, your thoughts on who the Super Bowl MVP will be?
That guy named Mahomes.
Pretty much for sure Mahomes?
Yeah, 15 in red.
I think if it's not Mahomes, it'll be Hill.
If it's not Hill, it's Kelce.
Right, it's one of those three. I honestly can't see anybody but Brady being the MVP for Tampa. Unless...
Scotty Miller.
My oh my, no. I think the MVP would have to be either Brady or like a Mike Evans type guy.
Or Chris Godwin or...
Yeah, but even then I don't think either. I think if Brady has a pulse and wins... Well, honestly, I think that's what he gets. I mean,
Because it's Brady?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so, anyway.
Yeah. No, I know you're
all right. It's Brady. Prop bets. Here we go. And there's some really good ones on here at the end, but we'll try to get to as many of these as we can. Will the game be tied after 0-0? The favorite, the prop, that the yes bet is a minus 130 on the money line.
Yes.
Yes. You think it'll be tied after 0? I agree.
It'll be tied at some point after 0, yeah.
Total passing yards by Patrick Mahomes. The over/under number is 331.5. Now,
over.
For reference purposes, let's recall that in the first game between the two, he threw for 462.
Over.
Yeah.
I know the single game passing record hasn't been broken since Van Bakken broke it in late 50s. If it gets broken in this game, I would not be surprised.
Won't happen.
Do you think that record will get touched? I mean, seriously.
At some point, yeah.
Why can nobody get it?
It takes a few big plays to get him. Mahomes is the type of guy to do it.
Mahomes will get it by the time
you're ready. Total touchdown passes by Patrick Mahomes, over or under 2.5?
Over.
Okay. I would agree. Receptions by Tyreek Hill, over or under 6.5?
Under.
Under 6.5?
Under 6.5.
Interesting, why the under?
Because I feel like the Tampa defense is focusing on the point where, oh, I got to go to Cardman and Kelce and Watkins. I got to go to somebody else.
I mean, he caught 13 in the first game.
But I feel like...
Even if he catches half that, he gets...
I feel like that Todd Bowles will rotate his safeties to the point where he made both of them wrong. I mean, they're not going to let him get catches in this game. Because the more catches Tyreek Hill has, the more confidence that Kansas City offense gets.
Over under on receptions by Travis Kelce. The number is 7.5. He caught 8 in the first game.
Both those guys under.
Under. Okay.
Those linebackers are so quick, so athletic. They're going to be able to cover.
I think they're going to force him the ball, though.
But I think Mahomes is not going to be Lamar Jackson.
I think it depends on how well they run the ball.
But Mahomes isn't Lamar Jackson. He's not going to look for Kelce on every third. He's not going to look for Mark Andrews on every third down. Mahomes is going to find, okay, Where's my safety valve? Oh, there's a layer over the middle. Throw it there.
But if they can't run the ball, they will throw the short pass more on and create, you know, second and medium.
The West Coast offense, the short pass is the pass.
Right. It'll be the second and mediums, you know.
Second and mediums.
Yep. You know, your seconds and seven, six, five. Maybe they're just little dump offs or quick hitters over the middle. I think that's where they will get there. Longest reception by Tyreek Hill in yards, over or under 27.5 yards?
Under.
You don't think he gets a deep one?
No.
That's a pretty short distance for Tyreek Hill.
27 yards, good enough.
27.5.
Yeah, under.
Okay. You read a lot of Chiefs unders. I don't think that's a wise betting strategy.
It's not my money.
No. Sure. I'd bet the over on that one. Team to score longest touchdown.
Chiefs.
-150. That's pretty heavy.
Hardman or someone will get open over the middle.
The first turnover of the game will be either a fumble or an interception.
Interception by
Brady. Or none.
Interception by Brady.
I think there'll be at least three turnovers.
Interception by Brady.
Okay. You think the first...
Brady's going to try to force one and get picked.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I actually agree with that. I think that makes sense.
He did it. He did it against the Green Bay game, so he's going to do it again.
First score of the game will be what?
Oh, God.
A touchdown or a... Will they give you the prop, the field goal and the safety combined?
Oh, my God.
So you can take either. So, first score of the game.
Whoever touches the ball first to score a touchdown.
Think so?
Yeah.
I feel like suck up field goal from about 38 is how it starts.
That sounds right, but if the Chiefs get the ball first, they're going to score. If the Bucs get it first,
let's talk about the kickers for a second. I don't think Butker's a very reliable clutch kicker in some situations.
Well, he's never had to though. I mean,
well, not true, but I just. He kind of mails in the extra point once in a while. He reminds me of the Bison kickers of the late 80s and 90s. They're like, it doesn't really matter if we make them. We're going to steamroll everybody. He's kind of like, because he missed like five extra points, I think.
Something like that. He's not Dan Bailey or anything, so he's not.
No, he's not Dan Bailey. But you think touchdown is the first score of the game?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Will either team score three straight times in the game? So, in other words... Three straight, like, touchdown, field goal, touchdown. Oh, yeah, three straight touchdowns.
Both teams will do that.
You think both teams?
Both teams will do it.
Okay. Okay. Well, we're just talking about this one. Who makes the first field goal of the game? Which team?
Suck up.
You think the Bucs make the first field goal? I agree.
Suck up.
I agree. Total passing yards by Tom Brady. Over under 306 and a half.
Over.
I agree. I think that's an over.
He'll pass the whole game.
Total completions by Brady, over under 25.5.
Over 25.
Remember, 27 in the first game.
Over 25.5.
Okay. Receptions by Mike Evans, over under 4.5.
Over.
Agreed. Okay. Again, for point of reference, he had 3 in the first game. Okay. Receptions by Chris Godwin, over under 5.5. He had 8 in the first game.
Over.
Okay, going over 5.5. Mm-hmm. Interesting one here, because he's played such a limited amount in the first game. Total rushing yards by Leonard Fournette, over or under 48.5?
Over.
Over?
Over 48.5.
Okay.
They're going to run the ball at some point. So.
Total sacks in the game, over or under 4?
Can you call a push?
Nope, got to be over or under 4.
I'd say the over then. If eight get two, it would.
I think I'm gonna get best the over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If one gets three, one gets two, it would not be surprised.
Right. No, I agree.
Probably favor the Bucs in that category.
Now, keeping the statistics in mind, we just talked about Caesars has a few really good props on here, and I think this will be interesting. All of these fall under the category of who will have more.
Okay.
More. Who will have more? Tyreek Hill receiving yards or points by the Miami Heat in the Heat-Knicks game that same day. Miami averages 106 points per game.
Receiving yards or points?
So receiving yards or points. Who has more, Tyreek Hill or the Miami? This is a good one, I think.
That's a tough one.
That's a good prop.
Because they're playing actually that Knicks game. It's not terrible.
Right. This is for Brett and Fargo, by the way.
You know what, Brett? I'm taking your Heat in this one.
Taking the Heat.
I'll take the Heat.
Okay, so 106 is the average, I think someone said.
166 are there for Tyreek Hill.
Okay, okay. Here's another interesting one that they came up with. Who will have more? Chiefs and Bucks combined kickoffs or points by LaMelo Ball?
I hate LaMelo Ball. Total kickoffs.
Total kickoffs. Now, just again, for the to give you an idea, there were 11 drives in each game, or by each team in the previous game. So that's 22. So that's kind of your number, is 22.
So points or kickoffs? Is that
points or kickoffs, right. Kickoff. LaMelo Ball or kickoffs?
Kickoffs.
Okay.
LaMelo likes his behind-the-back assists, so kickoffs.
Okay. All right. And the last kind of NBA prop that's tied into it. Who will have more? Tom Brady completions or Paul George points against the Kings that day? Again, Brady's complete. The over-under on the completion number is 25.5. Brady completed 27 in the previous game. Paul George, I did not look up the average. I don't know what Paul George is averaging. I'll get it. Hang on. Paul George is averaging 20.1 points per game. Okay?
Okay.
So, based on all that information, and the fact that it's against the Kings, who I understand
are... So, I got Tom Brady completions.
Yep.
Or Paul George going against Buddy Hield, who's a
Buddy Hield, yes.
You got me by the money. So Brady in completions or Paul George scoring over 30 points against Buddy Hield. Yeah, I'll take PG-13 on that one.
You're going PG-13?
I'll take PG-13.
Okay. I really...
Calling it a day, Kerry?
Yeah, calling it a day? No, I'm not. Okay. All right. Coin toss, heads or tails?
Well, I have a thing that showed
you
me.
You had a thing.
I did. Like, it was actually pretty good. But my gut would tell me tails. Because tails, I think tails is one of the past three coin tosses.
Is that right?
I want to say something like that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. All right.
I thought that was it.
Well, whatever. Total punts in the game. Over, under 6.5.
Oh, under.
You think under 6.5 punts?
Under.
Okay. I would tend to agree with that statement. I was just looking to see how many punts there were in the game last time. There were four punts by each team.
Sorry. Tails won last year, and then the 2 years before that, it was heads. So it's pretty, as a coin is, it's 50-50. But right. Yeah, I would probably say tails.
Just a couple other goofy ones here as we get to the end here. Which team will score last in the game? The favorite is Kansas City.
If it's tied, I'd say...
No, but which team will score last?
Kansas City.
Okay. The more points will be scored in either the first half or the second half. Second half would include overtime.
Second half.
Okay. That is the favorite right now. Total touchdowns in the game, over under 6.5.
Total touchdowns? Oh, over 6.
Over six. Okay. I think we did this one a little bit, but successful 2-point conversion in a game, yes or no?
Knowing these two teams, there'll be at least one.
Okay, I agree. Longest made field goal, over under 46.5 yards.
Over. Suck up a hit one.
Okay. Shortest made field goal, over under 26.5 yards.
Shortest field goal?
Yeah.
I feel like Tampa would settle in the red zone somewhere, so...
Okay.
Some 23-yard field goal, like a 10-yard
line. Other good ones here, just as we get to the end of the previews here. Largest lead by either team in the game. Over under 14.5.
Under.
Neither team gets more than a 2-touchdown lead?
I think it would be a 10-point game somewhere.
But the question is, largest, so would... Again, in the previous game, Kansas City got out to a decent. They had a 17-point lead.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you think it will be a situation where one team gets more than 17?
Someone have a 10-point lead, not a 17 or 14-point lead.
Okay. Another interesting one. Over under 2.5 total players who attempt a pass.
This is a Kansas City status.
Kelsey did throw a ball in the previous game, so that would hit at three. And of course, we know Brady and Mahomes are going to be the two. So is it three?
Yeah, I'd say three. Maybe Mike Evans will throw a pass somewhere.
I could see like Hilaire or something like that happening. I would agree. Mm-hmm. Total net yards in the game, over under 765 is the number. Now, keep in mind that the two teams combined for almost 1,000 yards in the previous game. In fact, it was 960 yards in the first game of total offense.
Man, that's tough. And what's the over-under again, sorry?
It's total net yards in the game of 765. I'm betting the over.
Okay. Yeah, over.
We talked about the sacks. Interceptions in the game combined, over 1.5.
Interceptions in the game.
Oh. I think Brady throws two. Mahomes maybe throws one. Yeah. Well, you and I are on the same viewpoint there. Okay. MVP, one more on the MVP. Your choice is Mahomes, Brady, Hill, Kelsey is one. Field is the other.
Oh, one.
One of those four.
One from Group A, yeah.
Okay. Who's a guy who would not be in the four I just mentioned? The four I just mentioned. Mahomes, Brady, Hill, Kelsey. Give me the guy off the board who could be the MVP.
A running back. Ronald Jones or Laird.
Okay. I think Mike Evans is my pick for...
I just think it's going to be one of these backs. Because they're not getting talked about enough during this week. It's all about the passing offense. These guys have a pretty...
And rightfully so.
Both teams have good ground games. I mean, the backs do, individually. The teams do not. But Ronald Jones has good talent. But Laird is only a rookie. So... Like, they're not going to be like, we can run the ball. I'll show it to you.
I'm still convinced that the Buccaneers need to run for at least 125 yards to win this game.
125? Man, you get 125.
I think they need to keep the time of possession in their favor. But you know me. I'm a grind it out, run the ball kind of guy.
Yeah, because you're a guy. Because we're Bison fans. We watch them run at 75% of
the time. Yeah, and I just feel like that's a bridge almost too far if they can't get there.
Okay.
I don't know. Am I way off?
No, I'm not saying you're way off. No.
But
no.
I mean, I just kind of think that. Oh, a few other good ones here. We got to do this. Tom Brady's total rushing yards in the game, over or under half a yard?
Under.
Going under?
He ain't going nowhere in this game.
All right. Shortest touchdown to score, over under 1.5. I think there's a 1 yard Bucks touchdown run in here somewhere.
Or the Rose Bowl play from the Chiefs will get in the end zone or something.
Either team to miss an extra point, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Butker.
Jersey number of the first TD scorer, over or under 24.5?
Jersey number?
Yeah, jersey number. Now this is the reason I'm going to bet the under is because look at the Buccaneers receiver numbers.
13.
Yeah,
13, 10.
Yeah,
14. Those.
Yeah.
Let's just tell me the over-under again.
And Tyreek Hill is 10, by the
way. What's
the
over-under again?
24.5.
24. So it means a back or a tight end. Yeah, I'll take the receivers.
But I think the first touchdown is going to be Kelsey. That's my opinion. But if I was going to bet, I'd bet the under on this one.
Yeah, under.
Yeah. First team to call a timeout, Bucks or Chiefs?
Bucks.
Really? I think the Chiefs will blow one early.
Bucks.
Okay. Right.
The Chiefs. That's not like the Chiefs because like someone's not lined up right because like a timeout.
Well, I think the Chiefs
are the stupidest timeouts.
Chiefs are a little more careless with their timeouts.
That's true.
Will a player get an?
This is Andy Reid clock management. Right. I mean,
will a player get the octopus? The two and the touchdown and the two.
No.
Okay. Last couple. Color of the Gatorade bath. Now, it's varied. It's amazing how much variance
there's. Like purple and yellow and orange. And
blue.
And
blue. Yeah. I'm going red. Yeah. Chiefs red. Yeah. I mean,
red or orange.
Well, I know, but I'm.
Again, I think the Chiefs want to be orange. I think you gotta differ it up a little bit. If the Bucks win, red.
Yeah,
is there like a pewter colored Gatorade?
I don't know, but there have been some strange ones.
That'd be pretty cool if there's a pewter colored Gatorade.
I'm trying to look while I'm on the fly here. I thought I had read what different colors it had been like.
Yeah, I saw that too. thought I saw where it was, but I don't remember where.
You got any money on the Puppy Bowl?
No.
Team Fluff versus Team Rough?
Don't care.
Wow. I didn't realize that was...
Do not care.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Don't care.
Well, that's for all the women that don't watch the game. Okay. Over-under on the national anthem is 1 minute 59 seconds. It's a duet this year.
Oh, God.
Eric Church and something called Jasmine Sullivan. I don't know who she is or why she's singing
it. Knowing that's a Super Bowl national anthem, it'll be at least 2 minutes.
I'm thinking they'll go over the 2 minutes.
It wasn't like on Thanksgiving when the Vikes play the Lions and like that woman on the piano for like 4 minutes straight on the national anthem.
Could be, not sure.
You don't have to savor every word. I get it's the national anthem, you have to savor every single word.
Savor.
It's not a piece of gum, it's a song.
All right. Which factoid about Tom Brady will be mentioned first? That it's his 10th Super Bowl or that he's 43?
He's 43.
Okay. What will Jim Nance say first? COVID or pandemic?
Hello, friends.
No, that's not a choice.
It should be a choice.
Will he say COVID or will he say pandemic?
Pandemic.
I think you have to say COVID-19 pandemic. I think he says COVID.
Pandemic's of a journalism word, so yeah, pandemic.
Over under on the number of wardrobe changes by the weekend. Over under is a half. I say the over.
Wardrobe change?
Wardrobe changes.
He's a guy.
There you go.
Under.
Okay.
He's a guy.
Okay.
All right. He's not a magician.
Just saying.
He just misspells the weekend.
I told you the weekend is from Canada. He's from Toronto.
Yeah.
So, over yes or no, will the weekend mention Canada during the halftime show?
No.
All right.
This is a song he has entitled Toronto, but I don't think he does.
Okay. Number of times Bill Belichick's name comes up during the game.
At least 3 times.
Okay, the over-under is 1. I'm betting the over.
Over, at least 3 times.
Okay. This is a good one. How many times will the chains be used to measure for a first down in the middle of the field during the game? The over-under is 1.5.
Over.
I think there'll be a few measurements on that one?
Yeah, it's a Super Bowl. I get everything right.
Okay. Coaches' challenges during the game.
At least 2.
Successful coaches' challenges, over under is 1.5.
At least 2.
Successful coaches' challenges. At least challenges. 2. Okay. Now, back to what I said about the Gatorade color. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid got orange last year. Yeah. Belichick got blue the year before. Doug Peterson got yellow. Okay. Could orange go back to back this year?
Yes.
Okay. That's why I wanted to make sure.
If there was a pewter colored Gatorade, the Bucks would use it, but I don't think there is one. You gotta mix a couple flavors together to make brown.
Ew, there's brown Gatorade?
No, there isn't. Oh, you have to mix some flavors.
What are you talking about?
You probably have to mix some flavors to get it.
Disgusting.
You don't mix drinks. So your pizza ranch and go flavors like the dispenser.
We're not doing
that. You make a brown color there.
All right, I think we're out of prop bets. Well done. Well done. Those are interesting ones.
I never thought the Chiefs and the Heat would be used in the same season.
Well, I like those. I heard about those the other morning, and those were the two, was the Paul George one and the...
Who blows more leads in the same game, the Wolves or the Bucks?
I don't know. If both teams had a 15-point lead, I don't know. I think the Timberwolves would be able to blow it pretty easily.
Oh, God, yeah.
Let's, just for the last minute or two here... Bison ORU this weekend.
Gotta win these games.
Is it critical that the Bison sweep?
Kind of. Because I think ORU is pretty overrated. But just because it's Joe Banner and I forgot who their point guard was. He's pretty good. I can't remember his name though. But it's just like...
Is that Abmus or whatever his name is?
Yeah, Matt. Thank you. But... They're just overrated, in my opinion. This is a young Bison team. I want them to sweep, but they'll probably split. That's just the way I see it.
You think so?
I want them to sweep, but they'll probably split.
Okay.
Fair. I think they'll split these series with the Yotes. I think the Yotes will be overrated, too. I think if the Yotes sweep... If the Bison sweep the Yotes, I feel pretty good about it. If you sweep with the Jacks, you're supposed to. If you sweep with ORU, you're supposed to. South Dakota's not belong anywhere near the top of the standings.
Okay, that's fair.
It just the Jacks don't play enough games, or I don't. South Dakota looks unappealing and boring, in my opinion. I mean, Amune is good. Who else is good? I'm waiting for a second option for that team.
No. Bison, according to Vegas, are 4.5-point favorites Friday night against ORU.
But this got a pretty good break on the schedule. I mean, everybody's at home, except for the Yokes.
Yeah, Abmas and O'Banner are the two guys who want to watch.
Yeah.
I think the Bison will have a little more energy when they come out here.
Against UMKC, could throw up all that.
Yeah, that was bad. That was not
it
a
was
good
beyond bad.
That was not
bad
a good
and boring.
Not a good display by the Bison on that one. Again, in the Summit League, I always hesitate to say that there's a must-win weekend. But now that the Bison have reached the 10-game mark, and they're 8-2. We've always said that 12-4, 13-3 will win you the league almost every year. 12-4 probably gets you a tie.
Yeah.
In order to do that now, they're going to have to go 4-2 over these last six. So they have four at home.
Yeah, what do you do with South Dakota State only playing four league games?
The interesting thing about the Summit League is they have not said yet how the exact tiebreaker is going to work.
Yeah.
I almost think you're going to have to do it with winning percentage.
I think if it's lack of games in general, it's just four conference games. I mean, that's just not enough.
I think what's interesting here is that the Bison, if they win... If they sweep this weekend, it would be pretty hard not to see them as a 3 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And what you really want to do is get to the 2 line. If they were to sweep the next... If they win the next 6, they're the 1 seed.
Mm-hmm.
If they go 4 out of 6, 5 out of 6, is that enough to get them the 2, to get off that second night?
It depends on what South Dakota State does.
Because the striation in the Summit League standings... Sorry. The break...
The striation. Sure, that's a shit on me now.
Well, it's really a break between UND's 4-6, the Ruse are 3-5, Western's 1-7, Omaha and Denver are both 0-6. You pretty well figure those teams aren't going to be in the chase for number. So the Bison are pretty much now guaranteed themselves a top 4 seed. They're going to have 8 league wins. There's no way the rest of these teams are going to get to 8. So they've locked in a 4 seed.
The rest of the teams in the Summit League?
Well, they've split with UND. They swept Western.
The bottom half.
Right.
Okay, I get it.
So they're not. There's no way they're going to be anything less than the 4. If they beat ORU, now this is where the winning percentage. The Bison have an 800 winning percentage, and Oral Roberts is a 750 winning percentage. So
what are the Jacks right now?
Well, perfect. They're 4-0.
And
South Dakota's
but
perfect.
But you cannot make them to the 2 line if
they
don't
have a choice.
If they've only played 4 conference games, you can't give them 2 seeds.
They're going to have 6 by the end of the weekend.
Right.
I mean, assuming there hasn't been any cancellations.
I'm just saying, if it's only 6 games, and the Bison have played, 8?
They've played 10.
They played 10.
They're the only team outside of UND to have played all of their schedules.
That should be taken into account more than taking the Yotes. Or having the Jazz half their season.
I think we're gonna have one eye on Frost this weekend because South Dakota is at South Dakota State. Now that's for the weekend.
Again, we want them to split, right?
We do, but we talked about this just the other day. South Dakota State at Frost is damn near unbeatable.
For some bizarre reason.
But the Bison
like the old Boston Garden.
The Bison still have to play SDSU, and it's here.
And that chills.
And the Bison, that's the key, is the Bison have 4 of their last 6 at home. And if they can go 3-1 at the home games and split with South Dakota, that probably gets you enough. That's a 750 winning percentage. Probably gets you to the second seed. That's the path. So... we'll see if that holds true. 7:30 tomorrow night at the Shields Arena.
Shack.
The Shack, sorry.
Shields Arena, the hockey arena.
By the way, just in case you're wondering, North Dakota, Denver, and Western at Omaha. Somebody has to win. So somebody's going to, get that done. But we'll see what happens in that game. I'm not optimistic. I would not want to watch any of those games on that side of the ledger. Ugh. I mean, that's just downright horrible. At some point, we're going to have to start talking about some major college basketball. I'll be honest with you, until I pull up the page, I have no idea who the number one team is. I think it's Gonzaga, right?
Yeah.
You love Gonzaga. I know you
hate
do.
Hate them with a passion. Baylor's number 2, and after that, it's just a mess.
I think everything in this friggin' thing is a mess.
It's a mess. I mean,
right now.
Duke and Carolina are going to play this weekend. Neither of them are ranked.
Well, right now, the number one seeds, according to Joe Lunardi, which kind of sucks because they're all, used to be like the such and such. Now it's region 1, 2, 3, and 4 because they're playing them all. my first four game going to be at Butler Field or at Knightstown yet? No? Okay. Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, and Villanova are your number one seeds. Right now, by the way, South Dakota, because they're technically in the Summit League lead, is the 16 seed that would play. Interestingly enough, Villanova.
Get sacrificed to Villanova.
But the 8-9 game in that region that Lenardi has is Minnesota versus Boise State. I guess so. The Gophers play, I think, Rutgers. They play...
the Gophers went up and down season.
They have been the ultimate up and down season, so...
Yeesh.
I mean, they've gotten their ass kicked by several teams.
Yeah, their ass kicked. Did they beat Iowa? Or?
I don't remember.
I thought the Gophers had beaten Iowa. But
if I... That would imply that I have to care. By the way, last quick story. Is this the COVID theme song? Did you hear about the Wild?
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to get canceled till next week. Isn't that COVID? The COVID-19! Anyway, just shout out to hope all the Wild players recover. That must be karma for slamming the guy into the boards or whatever that one time. That was a little bit brutal from that standpoint. So, much to talk about from that point of view. And, of course, we will have to take a look at the commercials when we talk again on Monday. Hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. Check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com for links to our previous shows and why Coastal Carolina still and always will forever suck. Grant, how do we find
you? Follow me on Instagram and Snapchat, @grantlegend1. Follow me on TikTok, @grantlegend. Follow us, @legend_loudmouth_pod. @legend_loudmouth_pod. DM us if you like the show, hate the show, we don't care. Just DM us, please, and subscribe to YouTube channel.
Monday, a lot to break down. We will, of course, talk all about Super Bowl Sunday.
Pies and football!
And break it all down for you. We'll talk commercials. We'll talk Bison basketball.
And
from
Bison
there,
football.
And then it's time to start talking Bison football as we get ready. We're only a couple weeks away from the season getting underway, and we'll start previewing it after we review the Super Bowl and everything else you need to know on Monday. Join us, won't you? Have a great Super Bowl weekend. Stay safe. It's the Legend and the Loudmouth.